Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9 Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Dopamine Kids, A Science-Based Plan to Rewire Your Child's Brain and Take Back Your Family in the Age of Screens and Ultra-Processed Foods, is a parenting and science book by journalist and science writer, Michaeline Duclif. It addresses a modern problem that many families recognize children becoming highly reactive to screens and highly drawn to ultra-processed foods, even when parents set limits. The book argues that older advice centered on willpower and strict restriction often fails because it does not match how the brain actually responds to high stimulation and repeated reward seeking. Drawing on current neuroscience and psychology, Duclif reframes dopamine as a motivation system rather than a simple pleasure chemical. The result is a practical guide for parents who want to reduce conflict, rebuild healthier habits, and create a home environment that supports attention, satisfaction, and real-world engagement instead of constant craving. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, dopamine is presented as a wanting system, not a pleasure switch. One of the book's central ideas is a correction to a widespread misunderstanding about dopamine. Duclif explains that dopamine is not best understood as the molecule of pleasure, but as part of the brain system that drives wanting, pursuit, and motivation. This matters because screens and ultra-processed foods often generate strong craving without delivering lasting satisfaction. If parents assume their child keeps returning to a device or snack because it brings real happiness, they may misread the problem and use ineffective responses. The book instead suggests that these products stimulate repeated wanting loops, which can leave children restless, irritable, and less able to enjoy slower forms of reward. By separating wanting from liking, the book gives parents a more accurate framework for understanding why a child may resist limits so intensely. That framework is the scientific foundation for the rest of the book's recommendations. Secondly, the book argues that modern screens and processed foods are engineered to capture attention. Duclif places children's habits in a larger environmental context rather than treating them as isolated behavior problems. Screens, apps, games, and ultra-processed foods are described as products built to be highly reinforcing, using design features and industry tactics that keep users engaged and wanting more. The book draws a parallel between digital platforms and gambling-style reward systems, showing that many of the same attention-grabbing methods are now used in family life. This matters because it shifts the discussion away from moral failure or weak parenting and toward an environment that is actively working against self-regulation. Parents are not simply competing with bad choices. They are competing with products optimized to intensify desire. The book's value lies in making that asymmetry visible. Once parents understand that the environment is not neutral, they can stop relying on persuasion alone and start changing the conditions that keep triggering the craving cycle. Thirdly, its practical method focuses on replacing, not only removing, high dopamine habits, rather than presenting restriction as the whole solution. The book emphasizes replacement and rewiring. The reported 5-step plan is built around creating boundaries, reducing triggers, and then offering alternative activities that are genuinely appealing to children. This is important because a simple ban often leaves a vacuum, which can intensify resistance and make the old habit even more desirable. Duclif's approach uses the brain's flexibility to build new reward associations through activities that meet real needs such as movement, autonomy, adventure, social connection, and family interaction. In other words, the child is not just told what to stop doing. The child is helped to discover something better to want. That is a more realistic strategy than expecting children to comply through willpower alone. The book's method is therefore behavioral and neurological. At the same time, it changes the environment, changes the alternatives, and gradually changes what the child reaches for first. Fourthly, the book reframes family conflict as a design problem parents can actively shape. A major practical insight in the book is that many battles over screens and food are not really about disobedience. They are about a home environment that repeatedly triggers desire and then asks children to self-manage impulses that were amplified by design. Duclif's response is to encourage parents to build more deliberate structures at home, including screen-free zones and routines that protect attention, sleep, conversation, and calmer family life. This is a meaningful shift because it moves parents from reactive enforcement to proactive architecture. Instead of waiting for a meltdown and then responding to it, they can create surroundings that make healthier choices easier to follow. The book also suggests that positive reinforcement matters when children experience satisfying alternatives. The old habits begin to weaken. This makes the family less dependent on constant correction and more dependent on stable habits and shared expectations. The result is not just less screen time, but less daily friction around the most common triggers. Lastly, it is aimed at parents who want a science-based response to anxiety, distraction, and overconsumption. The book is especially relevant for parents of school-aged children and teenagers who feel overwhelmed by technology, snack culture, and the emotional volatility that can accompany both. Its focus is not abstract child development in general, but the concrete problem of how families can respond when a child seems unable to step away from a device or stop asking for highly processed foods. Duckleff writes from the perspective of both a parent and a science journalist, which gives the book a useful balance of personal urgency and evidence-based analysis. That combination makes it stand out in the parenting category. It is not a general positive parenting book, nor is it only a critique of technology. It is a specific attempt to translate neuroscience into household practice. For readers, the benefit is a clearer understanding of why common strategies fail and what kinds of changes are more likely to work. The book's audience is therefore anyone looking for a realistic, research-informed plan rather than another set of generic limits. In conclusion, Dopamine Kids will be most useful for parents, caregivers, educators, and anyone trying to understand why modern children can become so strongly attached to screens and ultra-processed foods. Its main value is that it treats the problem as a neuroscience and environment issue, not simply a discipline issue. Readers who want practical guidance will find an argument for changing routines, reducing triggers, and replacing addictive-seeming habits with activities that provide deeper satisfaction. Readers who want an intellectual framework will gain a clearer picture of dopamine, motivation, and why older parenting advice can feel outdated in a digitally saturated world. Compared with many parenting books, this one stands out because it is unusually focused on two specific modern forces, screen design and processed food engineering, and on how they interact with children's reward systems. It is also notable for translating scientific ideas into a home-based plan rather than stopping at diagnosis. For families exhausted by nightly battles over devices or food, the book offers a structured and realistic way to think about change. If you would like to support Mikhailine Duckleff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.